So when my dad would wake us up in the mornings when we were little, he would sing, "Good morning to you." Do you know the song? "Good morning to you. We're all in our places with bright shining faces." And that part would make me so mad. "Good morning to you. Good morning to you." But this morning, we're not in our places. We're in opposite place. I mean, you're not. I'm kind of in my place, but you're on the couch.
Yeah, this is my first time being on the couch, and I'm trying to, like, get used to it.
I kind of sit in the corner and lean.
Mm-hmm. I like, this is what I like about vintage couches, is that they don't, like, the place where you put your bottom is not, like, totally horizontal. It's at an angle.
It sits back, yeah.
And so it actually feels quite comfortable. Mm-hmm. And for my long legs, it allows a more comfortable seated position.
And see, with my short legs, then they don't touch the ground at all. So then I have to...
You need a box.
I usually take my shoes off and sit, like, crisscross. Okay, well, you feel good? You feel ready? You
I
feel
think
like
I'm warmed
you want
up.
To have a conversation?
I think I can do this.
Okay. This is Be Createful, a podcast about finding fullness through creativity. I'm Joe.
And I'm Madison. And today on episode 106, we're talking about common sense.
Common sense.
So, as I was doing some light Googling today.
Well, let's talk about why.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Yeah.
Didn't we have a conversation about common sense recently?
I mean, sometimes, well, okay. Occasionally, this will come up because... we are on a corner of two streets, and one of them is a one-way street.
Yes.
And we see people driving the opposite way all the time. And we're like, people.
Come on.
Come on. This is common sense.
Hey, I guess that is a definition maybe of what common sense is. Whenever you want to say to someone, come on.
That's the colloquial definition.
Yes. I overheard some people. So I think we had just been talking about it because then I went to Walmart and I overheard a man and a woman on another aisle having a conversation. And the woman said, people just don't have any sense anymore. And I thought, one, what is she mad about? Also, you're at Walmart.
Yeah.
Does anyone here have sense? Like, I mean, I don't know what she, if it was something she was looking for. That wasn't where she thought it would be. That's where sometimes I wonder where the common sense is.
Where it's like, obviously, oh, like in one of my Walmarts, I know we're lucky enough to have two Walmarts in this town. At one of them.
We have a big Walmart and one small.
And a neighborhood market. Like it has food.
And those are our only options. So I wouldn't call us lucky.
Okay. Well, I know some places don't even have that. Yeah. They've got to deal with Dollar Tree or whatever. Yeah. So anyways, they put the like some of the like crescent rolls and biscuits on a separate aisle away from the cinnamon rolls like that are in the cans, and they separate them because, oh, over here's like the butter and orange juice and biscuits and berries to make like a breakfast. Uh-huh. And then over there is like the desserts, but they also have cinnamon rolls, which people eat for breakfast. And I'm like, this doesn't make any sense to me.
Or sometimes I think, if there's something that you are asking me to get, like toothpicks, but you had already got the toothpicks. But I was thinking, wait, where would toothpicks be?
Yeah. Is it in the paper goods? Mm-hmm. Is it in
Or is it with like spices for some reason? Is it with baking?
Is it on a weird end cap that has like birthday candles and toothpicks and like all of that business? Who knows?
But usually if it's on an end cap, it's also somewhere else. Mm. Anyway. And then... Denise, my quilting mentor, longtime podcast listener, sent me a meme that was something about common sense. You know, like the kind of come on part of the common sense.
You know, now that I'm sitting here thinking about it, when someone talks about common sense, is it ever good? Like that whenever common sense is brought up in a conversation, it's usually with that tone of someone doesn't have it,
right,
or they're frustrated, or they're like, that person just didn't understand what was going on. They have no sense.
Right. And we can drop off the common.
Yes.
I had a really hard time define. Okay. Did you look up a definition?
I did, but I wanted to like throw in a cute little factoid here. Today, the day of recording, is Thomas Paine's birthday, which is only important because he wrote the pamphlet Common Sense. that helped to spur on the American Revolution, basically saying his like thesis, if I can paraphrase, is that separation from England is just based on simple facts and common sense.
And let's rewind and say why we're recording this episode today. And we'll just say that because it's his birthday.
Yeah. It's his birthday. So, yeah.
Because I looked up a definition. I found a couple. Mm-hmm. The first definition that I found said it was simply good sense and sound judgment in practical matters.
Mm-hmm.
All of those things are subjective.
Oh, the definition that I found was sound and prudent judgment based on a simple perception of the situation or facts. And I was like, ooh, perception is so key in that definition.
Yes. Here's another thing I thought was key is that this definition, good sense and sound judgment in practical matters, you kind of have to decide then what is common, because that definition doesn't really address what common means. Mm-hmm. So are we defining common as something that is prevalent or occurs often, and that's what makes it common? Like you have the common flu,
mm-hmm.
or you have salt and pepper are the most common spices. Like that's what occurs the most. Or does the word common infer that something is agreed on or shared? We have a common way of thinking, mm-hmm. or like this is our common ground. This is where we are together. Does that make sense? So one is about occurrence, mm-hmm. and one is about proximity or relationship to something else.
I think it definitely has to do with like what we expect, what we are accustomed to, like when we have certain mm-hmm. customs, this is how you approach something. Uh-huh. That would be common sense.
Because that's what I think it should mean, mm-hmm. is that it's just what happens the most. But I think what we do without realizing it is we take on that second definition of common, that it means that it's something shared or agreed on, a common way of thinking. And so then when someone doesn't do it how we would do it, it's because they're wrong and we're right. Or like our way makes sense.
It's the most obvious choice.
Yes. And theirs doesn't.
Yeah. I definitely think of kids when I think about lack of common sense, because you're like, how do they come up with this line of logic? Like, yesterday I was at a friend's house. We just got back from AnimeCon, and we were talking about a kid who had stolen like a ton of Legos. There was like these cute little minifigures of different characters, and he was just like slowly but surely like pocketing them. And he got caught, and his mom was like, "Oh, I'll just, you know, I'll pay for them." Well, she didn't know how expensive they were. She ended up paying over $100 in Lego figures. And she goes, "How did they end up there?" And the kid goes, "I don't know how they ended up in my pocket." And I'm just like, kids don't understand that, like, there's obviously no other explanation for why those ended up in your pocket. You should just fess up. Uh-huh. You've been found out. Uh-huh. But kid logic doesn't work that way.
No.
If
I can't see you, you can't see me.
It's that lack of object permanence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it just goes to show that like common sense is not innate instinct. It is, like you were talking about, it's a proximity. It's a common ground. It's a what I call rules of engagement with people and a situation. Mm-hmm. And there's different rules of engagement for different situations and people.
Yes. Okay. Here's another definition I found that is going to push back against that a little bit.
All right.
Just to be clear, I don't necessarily agree.
Okay. Oh, no, I'd love to hear.
This is to do with AI and artificial intelligence.
Girl, yes. I'm so excited about this.
So the person whose article I was reading, this was like the abstract of then a study they did. I did not read the study.
Yeah.
But this is someone who has been heavily involved in AI for a long time. Mm-hmm. Okay. So he defined common sense as the knowledge all humans have. It's unspoken and unwritten. And so he was kind of sounded like, and again, this was just an abstract, that he was saying it's what we have innately.
Mm-hmm.
But so he said, for example, my mother is older than me. I think you still have to learn that. It's different than instinct. Just like kids have to learn to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And the toilet.
They will go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
But getting them to do it in the toilet.
Where you want them to.
Is right. different.
So he explained that common sense is learned through experience and curiosity. And so
I would agree with that.
Right. Because, and that explains, helps explain why, depending on where you're from, even regionally in the United States, things are different. And it's because common sense is different. Because our experiences are different. And so your experiences shape common sense. And then I guess that part can be taught to you by other people too. And then through your own exploration and your own curiosity, you can kind of piece together some of your own common sense. But they talked about how AI depends on common sense to be able to function. Like if it's actually going to
pass. To create either works of art or, you know, written works, it has to be able to understand the unspoken rules that humanity
abides by. But not
even
that far. Like, if it's going to function at all as an artificial intelligence, mm-hmm. it has to have the common sense. Because
In what way?
So they were explaining that their intelligence is quite brittle if they don't have common sense added in. So, like, you could give them a data set and they might come to a conclusion that is true based on just the data, but is not true if you factor in common sense and like this understanding of the human experience, and that has been what has slowed down the process of AI.
Have you seen the movie Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
Uh-uh.
So here's what you need to know. A alien race built a supercomputer in order to understand the meaning of life. They fed it as much data as possible, and the computer said, it's going to take me 10,000 years to figure this out. And they're like, okay. So they're a long-lived race. They let it do its thing, and at the end, it's getting ready to tell them the meaning of life and everything, and it spits out 42. And common sense would be like, that's not an answer.
Right.
But perhaps based on all of the data put in, it's like supposed to be this kind of thought experiment that the author gets you to think about of like, you have to, it's when we're looking for meaning in something, you can't just spit in data and expect to have something meaningful come out. So an AI needs common sense in order to spit out something that's even remotely like digestible for the human consciousness.
Or related. Yeah. Like you could be like, okay, 42 is an answer. It's not at all related to this question that we
asked. Mean, it could be. This computer could have been computing every sort of value and number that was in existence and dividing and multiplying by all sorts of different factors. So 42 might be true. That it's the meaning of life and everything, but it's not in a form that we would be able to understand.
Right. It is void of context or 42 what or 42 how or, yeah.
I think it just goes to show that, like, when you enter into a new context, like, people don't just do something for no sense. There's always a reason why people do something.
Right.
Or choose to do something. So assuming that it makes no sense will only further push you away from understanding. Like that kid didn't want to get in trouble. Like going back to the Lego thing, he didn't want to get in trouble, so he was going to lie. That does make sense. But in the context of an adult brain, like you've been found out, you cannot avoid that. The kid couldn't see that you could avoid punishment. You just need to fess up.
Right. But also, do you just, what's the lesson you're teaching your kid too when it comes to their sense? Like, do you fess up because you know you were caught, or do we always tell the truth? You know, like there is even still so many more
nuance,
so much more nuance. Well, and whenever we start to say what that person did didn't make sense, and we think it's something that should be common sense, then it's easy to discount their intelligence as a human.
Oh, for sure. When we're like, people have no sense. They don't know how to drive. When they're going the wrong way, they could be new in town and they don't know. Mm-hmm. They could be a freaking neurosurgeon, but they just didn't know.
Right. And downtown is confusing.
Yeah.
I will tell you one thing about Cersei driving that does not make sense to me, but everyone does it. So it is the common way is turning. When you're turning onto a busy road, people will just turn left into the left turning lane. That's their default. Mm. The way I was taught to drive, that is not what that lane is for. That lane is for people who are on that street to get into, to turn left off of the street. It's not for you who are turning onto said busy street to turn into. And then it just freaks me out every time people do it.
Because they like sit in that lane and they like wait.
Or they turn and you think they're going to turn into you. Like you think they're going to hit you because you're like, hello. They're just going into that lane. And it's so much the default here that I don't think people even are looking to turn all the way into the flow of traffic like they're supposed to. Because sometimes I'm like, you know, if you would have waited 2 more seconds, you could have just turned behind me.
Mm-hmm.
Like every other driver everywhere else, common sense. But here it's not. It's not the common sense.
Yeah.
So if you're ever here and driving, don't be scared. They won't hit you probably, but they will freak you out.
Absolutely.
In second grade, so this is my first memory, I think, of this conversation of common sense and what counts and what can we assume that people know, maybe. Like what kind of knowledge can we assume people already have? Okay. In second grade, we did this as a class project. We had to explain to my teacher how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Mm.
So she had all of the supplies.
Yep.
And so, you know, she would call on someone, okay, what do I need to do? And they would say, well, put the peanut butter on the bread. So she took the jar of peanut butter and set it on top of the
loaf of bread.
And they were like, no, that's not what I meant. Okay, well, what did you mean? And so she really walked us back to explaining every step of the process and not taking anything
for granted.
So like if we said, open the bread, take out 2 pieces, you know, we had to be so specific. If you said, put the knife in the peanut butter, she would just like set it in like, the peanut butter. Yeah. And like, you know, so it was frustrating, but also very memorable.
Oh yeah. I mean, I have been in that teacher situation, like, but I'm trying to explain to my kiddos how to do a new process. Uh-huh. So I'm like, all right, so I'm going to need you to take your paintbrush and dip it into the water and then put it in your paint. And then they'll like smash the paintbrush in the paint. I'm like, no. Okay. Take it back out. And then like trying to be as specific as possible. And the thing is that we typically do that with children, and we allow children the grace to be weird and have child logic. Right. But by the time that we get to adults, and I'm speaking to another adult, I assume that they know. So, for example, I have been trying to help my husband learn how to cook, and I'm like, I need you to go and chop that onion. And he's like, how? I'm like, you just use the knife and you freaking cut the onion. But for someone who has never done that before, they don't know how to take a round object and then get it safely flat so then you can chop it into smaller pieces, or if you make a cut this way or this way. Like, they don't know that. So, like, then it makes me think how many recipes are out there when I'm like, why don't people just cook more? Just get a recipe and follow it. How many recipes say chop an onion, crush some garlic, and they're like, how do I do that? And it stops them in their tracks. Right.
We had one of my teammates when I was living in Ireland was cooking, you know, like some pulled pork tacos or something in the crock pot.
Ooh, nice.
And it called for 6 cloves of garlic. I think my dad has done this too. It called for like 6 cloves of garlic. And so he put 6 whole
like heads
of garlic. But you,
oh no.
But you know, if you don't know,
if you don't have pictures or anything, or like that.
This is, you think the unit that you buy the garlic in is the unit that it would be called for. You know, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That you would think that.
I think, yeah, probably garlic is one of the few that's like that where you need to take smaller pieces. Because Because I'm thinking like, oh yeah, typically they tell you half an onion or...
Right, like they didn't say...
a few sprigs of thyme. Like,
right.
You're like, okay, a sprig, like not the whole bunch. Uh-huh. Like that makes uh-huh. sense. But yeah, if you don't know what a clove looks like...
Uh-huh. I had someone... Something I always assume is that people know, like when we're starting embroidery, I don't assume they'll know how to thread their needle, especially with the needle threader. That is not common sense to me. But I'll say, okay, you're going to pull that thread through and then you're going to leave yourself a little tail. And I'm, you know, holding everything up. And then I'll say, now take your long end and tie a double knot. That is not common sense.
Oh, no, it's not.
And to me, I'm like, okay, we all tie our shoes. We all tie. You know, you've had to tie something you didn't want to pull through something else, right? So we just, it made me think of that when you were talking about we have a little bit more understanding for kids that we're going to have to explain every step. But especially when I was first starting to teach classes to adults, I just assumed people knew way too much.
Mm-hmm.
So if people don't know something that is that, maybe this is the point, is that simple information is not the same as common sense, and you still have to be taught it. The common sense part is maybe that, hey, we have to put something on the end of this so that when you pull it through your fabric, it doesn't come all the way through. But it doesn't mean that they're going to know the skill or the mechanics of keeping that from happening.
Yes. So I wanted to ask the question, like, does common sense truly exist? Is it out there?
I don't think that common sense exists in the way that we rely on it to, or that we... you know,
in the ways that we mean it when we talk about common sense.
Now, I do think that you hear people talk about, oh, he just has no common sense. Like, he's so smart. Like, he's really book smart and intelligent. Like you said, they could be a neurosurgeon and they're driving the wrong way down the street. Or we know that that's true with people who are artistic geniuses.
We mean that about people who don't have life skills.
Right.
Like, well, right. Rubber to the road, the basics of being a human.
But that is not, I don't think that that is the same as common sense. I want to take that back.
I don't think it's the basics of being human. It's the basics of trying to move through the human world in a social context. Because
the social part, the context changes.
Yes. I think the true common sense is people understanding what it's like to be human, to be angry, to feel sad, to feel lonely, to understand what love is. Like, all of those things, those are human things, and that can be common sense. But we rarely call it that because to us, we've been taught that our emotions are nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
But yet,
right, it's not sound judgment or practical.
But it is the common thing, the common context through which we can meet people.
Right. So if you are, like, creativity is a common part of the human condition or human experience. The fact that it's always communicating with people is always going to be hard.
Yes. Most people are afraid from getting up and speaking, even the people who do it for their jobs. It's just a natural concern of just being human and being concerned with, will I be liked and accepted by my group of people?
Well, and that's different than what I even meant by that. I think getting people to understand our point of view is hard. Like, I find that even in, this is what episode 106. So we've had over 100 episodes of you and I having conversations. We talk all the time.
Yep.
And yet, in every episode, you say something that I wasn't expecting. Mm-hmm. Or there is some way that you see things that is so different from how I see it. And we are being very intentional in having these conversations.
Yeah. And I mean, we kind of prime each other for what we're going to talk about, but that doesn't mean we think the same things about it.
No. And so, how much more so for anyone in your life? Like, it's really easy to assume you're on a common page when actually you might not be at all, and you won't know you're not on the same page unless you actually talk about it. I mean, we've had times where it was 20 minutes into a conversation before we realized we're not talking about really the same thing, you know?
Yep.
That's what I meant about communicating will always be hard.
Understood.
Yeah.
There you go. To answer my own question, I do think common sense exists, but it only exists in the sense that everyone understands what it means to be human, and that transcends language and place of origin and just all sorts of context. Mm-hmm. But it's not typically what we call common sense.
And so then I would say, would we even call what you're explaining common sense?
I'm just saying that if I had to like find something within the world, That would be the thing. The human experience is common sense. Mm-hmm. And in some unique ways that allows us to be able to, if we can get to that point of communication with each other where we understand you're a human, I'm a human, I know what it's like to have feelings and emotions and, you know, and just try to survive in this world, then we will be able to understand each other better.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that we talk about common sense in these like social norms and customs, that's not what's going to connect all of us.
In fact, I think we've moved away from, in the way that I hear people talk about it, I mean, this is a broad brush, but like, I think we've moved away from maybe the more pure definition of common sense of, he just didn't know where to go look for the eggs when I told mm-hmm. him to. He needed to get them from mm-hmm. the chicken, you know, versus we automatically assume that someone is stupid because they don't see things the way that we do. I think it has turned us into being quite divisive.
Oh, for sure.
I actually heard, I'm not going to say who said this because it was a politician and it could have honestly been on either side, far right, far left. It could have been anyone, so I won't say. But this person said, the line in America is no longer between right or left. The choice is between normal or crazy. That's what this person said. So they've just given a whole speech about divisive, blah, 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 this, blah, 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 that. And then that's how they ended it. And I think...
I'm shaking my head right now.
That this sentiment, of course, it applies to politics. That's an easy way to talk about it. But I think that idea of there's no like you could do this or you could do this. Now your choices are between normal or crazy.
So I've got two thoughts about this. One, last night I was having a bit of an existential conversation with some friends of mine about my cosplay hobby. And I said, occasionally I get like when I'm spending all of this time. And then when I get ready to go to these conventions, I'm like, you know, I'm close to being 30. You know, am I acting like a child? Is this what adults do? It like really second guessing.
That you enjoy cosplay?
That I enjoy. Yeah. I'm like, there's been enough. There is enough social pushback where it does make me question. There was actually someone who was outside protesting the anime con that I was at. And so it kind of does make me think like, oh, you know, is this too weird to be continuing to participate in? Is this something that I need to stop doing? And I told my friend this and she goes, think about all the people who are going to put themselves in grease paint for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
She's like, but I think that's the difference. It's the difference between what is typical / the most prevalent versus right. the minority.
In our context.
In our context. So, you right. know, living in the South, football is king. And
anywhere
so,
in the U.S.
Like you're probably right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's fantasy football leagues, like all of that, which I've heard people say is just Dungeons and Dragons for sports fans. So it's like, we like the things that we like, but what gets translated into normal is what most people are doing. So in the education world, we've trained ourselves to say, instead of saying normal kids, we say typical functioning kids. Mm-hmm. The majority of kids typically function like this. And then anyone outside of that is atypical. They're not abnormal.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't fall into the majority.
Right.
Which is what I wish that politician had said, where it's like, I think that's, they're like missing the point. It's not normal right. and crazy. It's what's the majority and what's the minority.
Well, and also that isn't even, I think when you're looking at politics, the majority, a lot of times it's the minority that's being loud on both ends of the extremes.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's not even about what does the majority think? What is typical? Mm-hmm. What does a typical American think about any social issue or policy is going to probably be a lot different than the options that are actually available to us. And so it just was, I think it highlighted, not to focus too much on the politics, it highlighted how it's so easy for us to say things like that.
We think we're normal, and so we think anything outside of that is abnormal or crazy.
Yes, and so once we say that, once this politician called their side, obviously they think they're on the normal side.
Oh, for sure. They're not going to call themselves crazy.
And everyone else is crazy. Then you have just discounted the intelligence and the expertise of the other side. You're reducing the other side to a mob either way. Which, I mean, both sides have shown up in mobs, but there's also really intelligent people who we can like have some really intelligent, meaningful conversations, but we have to put this type of rhetoric aside.
Oh yeah.
And the it kind of falls back to our talk about nostalgia last week. Because what's common sense would change through time too, right? Like what was common sense in the 50s is not going to be common sense now. A teen right now is not going to know how to call their mom from a rotary phone.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the 70s, that was common sense. You knew how to dial the phone number. We used to call time and temperature.
Oh.
You would dial this number and it would tell you the time and the temperature. And that was it. And so, I mean, I don't know why we couldn't look at a clock to see the time.
Sure.
But we were allowed to use the phone to call time and temperature. That's what we called it. I don't know if that was its name. Anyway, I don't remember the number.
Oh, my goodness.
But we were allowed to call time and temperature.
Huh. Interesting. Well, I like what you talked about or what you touched on earlier, the fact of, like, common sense, what is typical custom is going to change over time and place, over region. So when I was thinking about, okay, what do we actually mean when we mean common sense? I was thinking, okay, they're unspoken rules of engaging with others in situations, like how we drive, how we order food, how we greet someone.
Yep, that's a big one.
How, you know, how we call someone on the phone, mm-hmm. things like that. How we get information. But also, it's a generation's expectations of how they assume things or a lifestyle needs to be. Like,
yes.
Like, the common sense is like, all right, this is how a life should be ordered. This is how you... And again, it could kind of overlap and be like, this is how you call someone on the phone. This is how you reach out to contact somebody. I mean, how many times have we tried to figure out etiquette of... Do we call someone? Do we text someone?
Yeah.
And it's based on generation. Mm-hmm. You know, what's going to be important? Do you send someone a card? Do you send someone a card via email? Like, what is the custom there? And then...
I think... can I add something to
go
that,
ahead,
too?
Yeah, yeah.
Common sense, I hear a lot when it comes to finances and budgeting.
Yes.
Because generations older than mine, and obviously you, because I'm older than you, weren't riddled with student loan debt or like the housing market that we have, or jobs were different. And so common sense said, go to college because then you will get a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got out of college and, you know, that wasn't our experience, wasn't what the common sense had told us that it would be. But then there's still, you know, there's always the joke about how, well, if millennials would just quit buying avocado toast, they could afford to buy a home.
Yeah.
Well, because that worked for one generation doesn't mean it's still valid for ours. So I would
because,
add that as an
yeah,
context.
Because if we're going back to the definition of common sense, it's having sound judgment within a certain situation and context. And the context has changed. The world does not look the same as it did, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah.
And oftentimes what we mean by common sense, aside from, you know, generational expectations and like unspoken rules of engagement. I also think it's when we assume that there's an obvious choice. People are always shocked by like, or people will sometimes be shocked by others' choices where it's like, well, why would anyone pick that? That's less of an indication of the other person and more of an indication of what you think. Because to them, it was obvious. That's why they picked it.
Yeah.
And I think we can even like take this down into like, well, why would anyone choose to smoke? Like, we all know the health risks.
Right. Common sense would say you shouldn't even start smoking.
Don't even start smoking a cigarette. Yeah. It's bad. Why are you doing that? Well, there's any number of reasons. People don't just do things for nonsense reasons or because,
you know.
They may choose it because it seems rebellious. Maybe it, you know, maybe a older sibling got them into it. Maybe it's a way that they could, it was the only way they could figure out how to calm down.
Maybe it was the common thing that was happening
in their
them.
Situation.
Yeah, whether it makes sense
what
or
This is what adults do. I'm going to do that. Mm-hmm. But I don't live in that context. So it would kind of shock me as a teenager. I'm like, why would anyone choose to do that? But maturity has allowed me to see, well, there's a reason why people pick that. It doesn't necessarily mean it was a healthy reason or that it's the best means of making that choice. But there's a reason why people do things.
Mm-hmm.
So to say, well, they just have no sense. They're making their choices based on something different than what you would make your choices on.
Right.
So not smoking isn't necessarily the obvious choice.
Right.
Can be more nuanced.
It's like, have you seen the episode of Friends where Rachel wants to be part of the conversations in like the decision-making conversations in the fashion job that she has? And her boss and the other guy that she's kind of equals with are always making decisions while they're going up to the roof to smoke. And so she wants to be a part of the conversation. And so she picks up smoking so that she can
go up to the
join
roof.
The conversation. Yeah.
See? There can be all sorts of reasons why people choose to start picking up habits that you're like, well, obviously I wouldn't do that. Well, you're not in their context and situation. Mm-hmm. So it's not the obvious choice for them.
Mm-hmm.
Just part of the deal.
Yeah.
One other thing. When I was thinking about common sense and obvious choices and like how sometimes we can feel like we're in a crazy world where nothing makes sense. It makes me think of the story of Alice in Wonderland, which for its time was a book that took the most literal like phrases from the English language or literal customs and like made them as literal as possible.
Right.
To the point where someone's like, well, no, that's not what I meant when I asked for half a cup of tea and they like cut the cup in half.
Uh-huh.
You're like, well, that's what it means. That's what it can feel like when you're in a new context, or you could feel like Alice, where like nothing makes sense in this world. It all feels crazy.
Uh-huh.
But if you're living in Wonderland, that is normal.
Right.
That is the custom.
Right.
So you may be the Alice in some situations, but you may also be the people in Wonderland in some situations.
Yes.
So it's good to kind of like test that out occasionally.
Right. Figure out where you are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Here is one time where something happened and I felt like I should know the answer because of common sense, but I didn't. And it made me feel really stupid.
Oh, what happened?
So I was filling up my car with gas and the automatic shutoff didn't turn off. And so gas was just spilling out. Mm. Luckily, I was standing there waiting for it. And I wasn't just like back in my car or something. And so I was able to, you know, release the handle thing and get it turned off. But then I had gas falling all the way down my car, like underneath my car. And I thought, is it safe to start my car? There's gas everywhere.
Yeah.
And so I called my mom and asked her because she grew up around gasoline.
Like she
racing go-karts.
Had a shop, right? So.
And she raced go-karts and I'm sure she, you know, spilled some gas.
Yeah.
So she said, she kind of laughed, but like not, oh, Joe, you're being so silly.
No, but she understood.
Chuckled. Yeah. And she said, no, you're not going to blow up and it's going to evaporate really fast anyway. But so if that happens to you, just know if you don't know either if you're going to blow up or not, you won't.
So I can start my car if I spill gas on my car? Okay.
But common sense would say, you know, how you're not supposed to smoke cigarettes around gas. Like, we would think, oh, yeah, that's common sense. But people still do it all the time. Oh,
they do it all the time. My mom taught me to always touch the metal when I get out of the car to make sure I reduce static. I do it all the time.
But see, then I wonder if things like that are true, or is it a wives' tale?
Yeah.
Because don't you think wives' tales are things that people thought was common sense maybe, and then we've
eventually figured out
information, and then now it's just a wives' tale?
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard stories like that where it's like a kid walks up to a mom who's like cutting like the end off of a ham, and they're like, why do you do that? And it's like, well, this is how grandma always did it. She did it for a reason. And then like they finally go and ask grandma, and grandma's like, my crock pot was too small. I always had to cut off the end.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I've been wasting this ham all this time. Uh-huh. So that to say, do you have anything else to say about common sense before we move on to our...
I was just gonna say, I was always told that it was illegal to leave the dome light on inside your car.
Oh, I've seen this on shorts.
It's not.
Yeah.
I don't think that is illegal.
As far as I know, it's not. I saw a video where someone was like, your parents told you a lie so that you didn't have the light on in the car. That killed me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So sometimes the things that we have learned might be common knowledge, but they're common lies.
Yes.
It doesn't make it true just because a lot of people believe
it. And someone may have told you that in good faith.
Okay, I might have said this before.
Okay.
This is a PG.
Okay.
Okay, I called my sister a dork. Mm-hmm. And my dad said, don't call her a dork. And I said, why not? And he said, because a dork is another word for a whale penis. I was like 28 before I realized, I think he made that up. And I was probably 7.
Yes.
I don't know. Because I remember him telling me that and I was appalled. But then also sometimes you're like, well, my sister is being a whale penis.
Yeah, I want to call her that. Wow.
And so anyway, if your dad also told you that a dork was another name for a whale penis, your dad was pulling your leg. It's not true.
Oh, my word. That's wild. You know, common sense was a big deal in growing up in my household. It was very important that, like, there's just certain things that you... like certain like social rules of engagement that you do. You never invite yourself over to someone's house. You know.
But okay, because I kind of went down this thought process.
Yeah.
And then I thought, but wait a minute. Is that common sense or is that like politeness? Like, this is what it is to be polite. You address anyone older than you as Miss Madison. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, this is what it looks like to be respectful and polite. But that might be different than common sense. It's a common way that we act, but it's not that good sense or sound judgment in practical matters.
Well, I think inviting yourself over is one of those ways that it crosses over from just politeness. It's just like, it's like when you're interacting with someone either at like a restaurant or if you're asking to go over to someone's house, like... it's part of the rules of social engagement, not just how do you address someone. But, I mean, that is kind of like part of culture shock and common sense is like, how do you move through this world? You know, well, you're always supposed to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. But then if you go up north, you can't say any of that.
Yeah.
Because they think you're being like uppity.
Right.
Like, yeah. Like you're being sarcastic or something like that.
And I guess it doesn't matter. I think it is a common way of interacting, but does common sense fall under that, or does common sense refer to like information, decision making, thought processes more than social interaction?
I think it's both. I do, because I mean the ways that we are polite change from culture to culture.
No, I think of the characteristic, the conversation that we've been having is applicable to the other, but is etiquette, common etiquette, the same as common sense.
Well, we expect everyone to follow it, and we're surprised when they don't.
Yes, but it's not it's not about making decisions or sound judgment in practical matters, if that is the definition of common sense. I think a lot of the principles we are talking about, it's cultural. It is, what does common mean? Like, it's going to be different for everyone. That applies. But it's like, to me, kind of apples and oranges, or blueberries and strawberries. Like, you'll find both in a similar place, but is it the same?
I just have a hard time telling the difference. Like, I think, is there enough difference there to be able to put them in two separate categories?
Between decisions.
Like, politeness and, like, using common sense through judgment and moving through the world. I don't think that there's enough difference there, at least for me, to be able to, like, differentiate the two.
Okay, so I guess I would say an example of common sense is my car going to explode because I spilled gas on it? Like, that's a judgment. That's information and judgment in a decision like that. Versus, I just walked into a room. Do I shake this person's hand or do I offer them a hug? Yes, a decision still has to be made, but it isn't about, like, it's not so much information as, like, social. I guess for me, the line is the social part of it.
Yeah. I just see the world in very much that, like, most of what we do is social, and it's all a construct that we have all figured out and agreed upon. Like, these are the basic rules that we'll abide by, whether they are, you know, financial or whatever. I think that, you know, we've decided this is how we're going to do things.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
But, I mean, I think there are all kinds of ways that we have an expectation, like a common expectation.
Mm-hmm.
And so there could be a big bucket for that. And in that sense, yeah, I could see it all being in the same bucket.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got some tips on maybe
finding new ways to view common sense. We've talked a lot about what it is, what it isn't, what we think we mean when we say common sense, uh-huh. and what we're actually meaning when we say common sense. But what I really want to focus on is, like, the frustration or the sort of awkwardness that often happens with common sense, whether you are frustrated at someone for having no common sense, or if you are like the Alice in Wonderland and you're like, oh, I don't know what the sound judgment is here. How do I handle this?
Yeah.
Those are what we want to give you tips on today.
Yeah.
It's kind of navigating common sense, whichever side of it you're on.
Mm-hmm. And I did not write this tip down, but I think we just need to get rid of the idea altogether. I mean, I think
just let it go.
Yeah. I think that we would be able to engage with people better as individuals in humanity.
Yeah.
Like, the things we have in common, our humanity is what we have in common, but then seeing that person as an individual and not making assumptions about them, because that's kind of the common part, is that it lends us to make assumptions. So then if someone meets those things, we assume all sorts about them. And then if they don't meet what we're expecting, then we assume all sorts. And so I think it's a huge barrier to genuine connection.
It is a barrier to genuine connection. I think the reason why it stayed so much is that it's so much easier and more efficient for our brains to have, like, this is what most people think. It allows us to, like, see patterns within people, which our brains really like. And so if we have a set of rules that, like, this is how this is how your life goes, this is how you interact with people, this is how you function with your property, your, whatever, then you know, we're not constantly having to make unique decisions each time. So I understand why it stayed around for so often, because it does take a lot of effort to say, like, not assume things about a person. Mm-hmm. Now you have to be curious and you have to ask questions, and you can't just be like, well, just because someone is walking down the street and they look a certain way, I'm not able to assume just based on, this is just an example of assumptions, mm-hmm. I suppose. You're not able to just assume everything about them based on what they look like. Common sense kind of provides that in like the interaction world, where you can just assume that someone is going to greet you by shaking their hand, or they're going to, or they're going to, you know, allow the person to the right to turn on the road. It helps things flow, but it doesn't allow for unique connection with people. So I guess we should get rid of the idea of common sense when it comes to dealing with individuals, but there's always going to have to be some sort of like basic rules of engagement.
This goes back to where the conversation we were just having, where we're disagreeing on what counts as common sense.
Yeah.
Then let me be more specific. I think we need to be able to get rid of that sentiment that I overheard at Walmart of people just don't have any sense anymore.
Mm-hmm. Like, I agree. I think that's exactly what needs to be getting rid of. That's exactly what we need to get rid of. People, like I was saying earlier in the podcast, people always have a reason for doing something.
Yes.
You may not think it was a good and valid reason, but they did, and they made that decision.
Right.
So you have to approach it that way.
That is what I think I want to get rid of.
I just know that there's probably a lot of, or there's a few listeners out there who's like, well, what do you mean we got to get rid of common sense? You mean I have to like question everything? That's not what we're asking. We're just saying, we're suggesting that we let go of the people have no sense. I can't believe someone would do that. Why would they ever make that decision? Mm-hmm. We're trying to get you to let go of that.
Or to, if that, because that is a natural reaction,
mm-hmm.
but it shouldn't stick around as your response to every situation or every time that someone disagrees with you. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, when I see someone driving the wrong way down the street, I'm like, ugh. And then
it's frustrating.
Yeah.
But you don't let it linger.
No.
You don't then build upon it and be like, there's so many people that drive down the wrong way. I can't believe people, you know, they can't find things in Walmart. Ugh. And you just like slowly build until you get fed up with humanity as a whole. And you're like, we just need to like ship everybody off in a rocket up into the sun and end it all. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of where the conclusion goes, that if you think everyone is crazy, if people are picking between normal and crazy, and most people are picking crazy, you're going to get fed up with humanity and you're not going to have a lot of patience for people.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, you're going to be alone because
angry.
You're going to be the only one that is quote normal and everyone else is crazy. And that's not how the math works.
No, the math doesn't work that way. Anyways, so your tip
was just to get rid of it.
Just get rid of the people have no sense.
Yeah.
Sentiment.
Yeah.
Agreed. I like it.
Here's what you replace that with, because maybe that was a empty
empty tip.
Yeah.
Okay. So now that I can't say, you know, people have no sense, what do I say now?
Yeah. So I think, and it also doesn't mean that you can't have,
you can
your
be frustrated
own
with people.
Like,
yeah.
You still can have sound judgment. I think it's just acknowledging that someone who disagrees with you, it's not because they're stupid. Mm-hmm. It could be because they also, as an intelligent human, have their own sound judgment from a different perspective from yours. Mm-hmm. So the alternative is to be curious. And if you don't want to have the conversation, then don't. If you don't want to change your mind, or you don't want to find out what they think, then that's fine. But don't just call them stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Just walk away from the conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So either leave, or I would suggest to you to have some patience and examine your own bias. Think about ways in which you are like, well, this is common knowledge. Well, is it truly common knowledge?
Mm-hmm.
Is it truly a custom that this person that you're interacting with would know? Just ask yourself that question. Get a little curious about your own feelings and then have patience for other people.
Right. So this would be like an example that you were mentioning with Richard not knowing how to cut an onion.
Mm-hmm. instead of getting frustrated, which I have been, mm-hmm. instead I would be like, okay, would he ever have an instance in which he would have done this? The answer is no, because neither of his parents cook. Uh-huh. So who was he going to learn from? Did he have a desire to cook? No. So he wouldn't have gone and looked it up himself.
Also, the more of an expert or the more familiar you are with that thing, let's keep with cooking, the more you know. Like, the more information feels like it's common because yes. it's been so long since you were a beginner. So if someone, like if some, the recipe says to brown some butter or to make a roux, you may be like, oh, well, that's simple.
You're like, oh yeah, let me just whip that up right now.
And simple and common are not the same.
No, I tell that to my kids all the time. They talk about the difference between easy and simple. Uh-huh. I'm like, when they say easy, they're like, oh, you can just tell me what to do and I'll just get it on the first try. I said, no, it's not easy. It's simple. I can tell you how to do it, but the execution of it is not going right. to be like, you won't get it on the
right.
first
like
try.
There might just be one step in the process. I need to tell you that is simple. However, it's going to take practice to execute it.
Exactly.
Also, it takes a lot of courage to admit that you are missing information that you think is common and that you should already know. So for Richard to say, I don't know what that means to chop an onion, actually takes a lot of courage because it potentially could make him look stupid.
It's a lot of vulnerability.
Yes. Yeah. And so you are by not assuming someone's knowledge, you are making it to where you're not putting them in a place where they have to show their own lack of knowledge mm-hmm. because they might not ever just shut down.
Yeah. It allows them to feel safe and ask questions. Like, you know, there's probably a lot of people in the older generation that's like, what do you mean you don't know how to write a check? Mm-hmm. Well, if they've never needed to,
right?
Why would they? It doesn't mean they're stupid. Just because you've done it, you know, hundreds of times doesn't mean that they have.
And I think that's the sentiment that people get at when they say there's no such thing as a stupid question.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, so it's kind of holding that mentality of, especially when we're teaching class, like, just not assuming that anything is common sense, because I don't have any clue the experience that people have. So I will kind of over explain
mm-hmm.
so that it's filling in any gaps that might exist.
Yeah, we tend to assume people's experiences. And so in the education world, we call that schema. Some people just don't have, and those are like, schema is like the file folders in your brain that you put information into. It usually is tied to some sort of experience or like some sort of basic knowledge of something. If they don't have those folders and you're telling them, so for example, to go back to the cooking metaphor, if, you know, Richard, I'm asking Richard to cook a meal, that's new information. But if he doesn't have the schema of like cooking with his mom, he can't take that new recipe information. He doesn't have a file folder to put it in. Mm-hmm. So it's going to get lost in his brain.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not going to be able to continue to build on that knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot assume that people have the file folders that you have in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even if everyone else that you know has the same folders.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that new person that just walked in does.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. What's another one of your tips?
This is my last one. To be willing to objectively hold new information. So like if something that doesn't fit my understanding of good judgment or good sense, practical, whatever, but there's new information that's coming in, is it possible for me to hold that objectively and move myself around the information instead of expecting that the information is, instead of assuming the information is wrong because it doesn't fit where I'm standing?
Oh, so you're holding it and you're like, this doesn't fit anywhere in like my file folders in my library. Yeah. Does that mean it's wrong? Maybe not. But I just need to figure out how to get a grip on it before I can make a place for it in my brain.
Right.
So maybe there's like a little spot in your brain, like a little box where it's got a lot of different ideas that don't seem to fit just yet. But that doesn't mean that they're untrue. It just means I don't know how to let my mind pick it up and hold it in the right ways.
Also, it's possible that some of the folders in my mind are wrong.
That's true.
So I can't just say, nah, this is how I think, that it's common sense to think this way, or like the way that I think is right. Mm-hmm. I think it's trusting that being curious and questioning things is not the same as being like wishy-washy. I think we're so scared of being seen as flaky, or like, you know, that cliche, if you stand for everything, you don't stand for anything, or that we need to be firmly planted in what we believe. And so that can make it really difficult when there is new information. And I'm not talking about some like hoax or disinformation, or, you know, like, but when there's something that is credible, coming from credible sources, and it doesn't fit the way that I think the world works, then maybe my single person's perspective of how the world works is not fully formed. Yeah. And maybe this new information can expand my perspective of the world.
Yeah. So I used to be really terrified of that, because I'm someone who loves to listen to a lot of different opinions. Mm-hmm. And I can argue an opinion upside down and sideways, even if I don't believe it. Mm-hmm. Love doing that. And so I've often thought, does that make me a wishy-washy person that is easily swayed? So when I was having a conversation with one of my friends about it, they're like, nah, man, you're reading books, you're watching videos, you're doing research and work. You aren't just listening to something once and then like shoving it somewhere in the folders of your brain and like, yep, it's true.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make you wishy-washy. Being able, and this goes back to when we talked about changing our minds.
Mm-hmm.
That episode, that doesn't mean that you're flaky or wishy-washy. It just means that you found a new way of looking at something. And that's okay.
Yeah.
You can change. Actually, it's important that you change. Otherwise, like, why do we bother educating ourselves? Why do we bother, like, learning new things?
And why do we bother ever even talking to another person? Like, if we're unwilling to change, then you have to assume that another person is unwilling to change too. And so then what's the point of even...
Well, what's the point of relationship, right?
Right.
Because the thing is that when you're in relationship with somebody, in any capacity, work, friends, spouse, whatever, you're going to change each other. And that's going to be the unique part of having a relationship. If you find yourself in relationship with someone who's unwilling to listen to your feelings, maybe put them in that box for a little bit because they don't know quite what to do with them. But then they like, you know, and then they pick them up again. They try to like figure out, okay, how do I hold this new way of thinking? If they're not willing to do that, that's not a relationship. There's no vulnerability there. Someone is not willing to like, someone's just holding you at arm's length. If they're not willing to kind of go deeper and try to understand where you're coming from. Yeah.
You're just be like an accessory to their life.
Yeah.
So common sense. Anything else?
Yes. If you are new, like let's say you are Alice in Wonderland, ask about the unspoken rules. Be as weirdly specific in your questions as you want to, because people are totally more willing to, you know, tell you the answer to what you may think is a dumb question, and then you have the answer, rather than trying to go through and like guess and hope and try to understand what's going on. For instance, like when I needed to change my driver's license over from Arkansas to Texas, I called them up and I was like, hey, I've never done this before and I've looked on your website and I couldn't find what I'm looking for. What do I need? Then I knew all of the stuff that I needed to bring in. To them, it's probably old hat, but to me, I needed to know what the rules were.
Right. Well, and also they have people show up every day that doesn't have what they need. So,
yeah. So I'm sure they were like, I mean, yeah, I have to answer the phone. This sucks. But they were also like, oh, great. Now when someone comes in, they're going to have all their stuff.
Yeah.
So don't be afraid. That works in bureaucracy. It works in relationships. It's not going to work perfectly, but at least you'll know.
And by doing that, you are showing a posture of, I want information, instead of, and that opens the lines of communication. Like you're saying, when you ask questions, people will answer you.
Yeah.
Also, people want to say what they know and what they think. So,
oh, yeah. People love to talk about the stuff that they're comfortable with, the stuff that they know very well, for sure.
I guess a tip, I just thought about this, is the same as, you know, being willing to take on new information, and similar to what you just said, is that it's okay to be a disruptor in situations where it seems like everyone's just doing the same thing because that's how they've always done it. Mm-hmm. Being a business owner, there's like things about this is what it is to own a business, and there's some common sense for that. And then I think, but wait, that doesn't really work in make do's context.
Yeah.
And so you can, one, shake things up. That's fine. Ask questions. You don't have to pretend that you know all of the things. And no one is the only one having
those questions. Yeah. It makes me think of, you were recently a judge at a spelling bee and you had never done that before. And you asked questions that probably a lot of people already knew the answer to, but you needed that information because you were new. But I'm sure that there were other people in that room that needed reminding. Yeah. And so when I got on the phone with the coordinator later on that day, she goes, well, how does Joe feel about judging? I said, oh, I talked to her about it. She feels good. She's like, well, she had a lot of questions. I said, well, no, that's her. That is her getting the information.
I don't even remember what I had questions about.
I can't give you the specifics at the moment, but she was like, oh, I told her, Joe will ask a lot of questions, but once she's done asking the questions, she knows what she needs to do. She's good. She's like, oh, okay, well, good. I think that was just kind of a new thing, because a lot of times in those situations, people feel like, well, I need to pretend like I know what I'm doing because it'll make me either look smart, or I don't want to be a hindrance or a burden. But that luncheon was specifically to ask questions about being a judge. So you were doing exactly what you were supposed to be doing.
It felt like a lot of pressure too, like judging the thing. And I didn't, I did have a lot of questions.
But that's okay. That's okay to have a lot of questions. I love it when kids have a lot of questions in my class. It means they're engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here for that. Yeah. So that's the end of what I've got.
We did it.
We did it.
It was a really common sense conversation on...
So hopefully you have found some new ways of thinking about common sense. And the next time you're like, oh, people don't have any common sense. Yeah. You can be like, okay, well, let me think about that a little bit.
I think you notice it, especially if you move somewhere new, even like not growing up in this town and now living in this town as an adult, or, you know, living in Ireland for 3 years. I was trying to think of things, common sense that I was missing. I mean, one is don't stand too close to the curb because a bus will splash water on you. That was common sense that I had to learn through experience. But that's where it really can show up.
Yeah, when you're in a new context. I had to learn that in bigger cities, you don't make eye contact with people.
Mm.
Unless you're talking to them, you don't look people in the eye. You just keep going. Part of the deal. So,
bigger cities, in Dallas, you could look people in the eye.
Yeah, or like... I don't know if you do this, but I give people the head nod when I'm like driving, or like when I'm walking down the street.
I wouldn't give someone a nod.
I do the white Southerner head nod where I'm like, how you doing?
Only if we have something in common. Like when I drove a bug, I would always wave at anyone else that was driving a bug.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't do that with my Subaru.
Man, I've had Subaru owners come up to me and be like, hey, you like your Subaru? And I'm like, why are you talking to me? This is my first Subaru. Is this a thing? This is weird. But it's just
small club. It's a small club.
Yep.
What's your sweet?
My sweet is that I've gotten a lot of rest this week. I've had a lot of classes going on and lots of other anime cons over now, and I'm just trying to enjoy the rest.
Yeah.
So that's been good.
And the weather's nice. Are you being outside?
Oh yes, and it's sunshiny. Mm-hmm. I love it. What about you?
My sweet is that, I know what it is. I got my wallpaper hung.
Girl, it looks so good.
There is a part of my house that is like at the back of my dining room that has gone through a huge transformation. It used to be a window that they had painted stained glass on it. So that was the first thing I did when I moved in, was like take off the painted stained glass. And then it just looks into my laundry room. It was very strange. So I got that filled in with drywall. And then it had been sitting like that for a while. And I've had this wallpaper for, I found the first picture I took of it in my phone. I've had it a year and a half. Mm. Or a year. Like, yeah, a year. It was mm-hmm. like September of 2021.
Yeah.
So I've had it a year and a half. And there was just a lot of decisions I had to make before I could hang it. And so anyway, I hung it over the weekend.
It's looking good.
My sour is that I started doing it at like 6:30 at night. And then I was up until... to hanging the wallpaper.
Good night, man. Oh, I don't really have too much of a sour
because it's been such a good week.
It has been a pretty decent week, so I've been enjoying it. New thing that I am wanting to learn is how to paint with thick body acrylic. So I've been doing a lot of research of like, how do you paint like this? And I finally figured out, I've seen artists do this where they paint with thick paint with frosting, like icing tips, like you would use on cupcakes or other cakes or whatever. And I was like, I figured out how to do it with paint. So now I'm like really super excited to like get some frosting tips and this, all of the supplies and like get to play around with that. So I'm excited.
Yeah, that sounds fun. I learned how to do a mail merge from Google Sheets to my Gmail.
Hey.
So that's where you can like put information, specific information into different columns, and then you create a template in your Gmail and you send the information over, so it like sends personalized emails but kind of in bulk.
That's awesome.
I know, that was fun.
It's fun when you're learning new things. Well, dear listener, I hope you're learning new things, whether it's about common sense or something else in your life, and I hope you enjoy your week.
Yep.
Yeah,
have a good one. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you to my dear, dear friend Craig Hudson for our very createful theme music. You can hear more of Craig's music on Spotify under Craig Hudson, that's Hudson with a T, or you can just click on the link in the show notes. Also, be sure to connect with Make Do on Instagram at Make Do Create or on Facebook at Make Do Circe, and visit our website, makedocreate.org, for upcoming classes, show notes, to order a face mask, lots of things.